Yeah, it's good. I'm going to talk to you about the reading that we just heard from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And as I said, we're in a section of kind of hard readings from the Old Testament prophets right now. So we will have to, I was going to say grin and bear it. We're going to have to listen carefully to God's word. That's better way. That's a better way to talk about it, I think. So years ago, I was at a, and I want to talk about this theme, which is in the theme in Jeremiah, as you heard, which is, why do we have this tendency to be self-destructive? You know, why do we have this tendency to run away from God? Why do we have this tendency to do things that we know or should know are not going to bring us genuine happiness? But what is this urge in us to do it anyway, which is which is a part of human nature? Why is that? And Jeremiah will talk about that a little bit. A number of years ago, our family used to go to Waterton every summer. Diocese used to own a cabin there. And if you're a clergy, especially if you had a young family, you would have this beautiful place by water. For those of you who don't know, Waterton National Park is south. I have no sense of direction. South and west, is that right? Oh, I struck it lucky. South and west. It's a beautiful place. If you haven't been there, I recommend going there. It's a beautiful place where there's the prairies, and then all of a sudden the Rocky Mountains are just like right there. No transition, no subtlety. Really magnificent place. And so we used to go there every year, stay at the Dawson Canyon. And of course, there's a lot of wildlife there. So, you know, you see people stopping by the side of the road, you know, because there might be a bear somewhere up there somewhere, you know, especially if you're not from, you know, you're from the States or somewhere and you don't get to see many bears. We get to see too many sometimes where I live, but anyway, you don't get to see a bear and everybody's stopped and looking at it. And so we're doing there and we're stopped and looking at this. And when I'm in a relaxed state, and I'm on holidays, just to let myself know, I put on my New York Yankees hat, because I'm a fan of the New York Yankees, right? Baseball team, New York Yankees. And if there's one thing, I think this is true with sports teams in general. If you're a fan of one team, there's probably a team that you particularly despise. You know, they're your enemy, right? So I think that's true everywhere. I don't know. The Stampeders, is it even worth being the enemy of the Edmonton Elks right now? I don't know, but you know that kind of competition. So I'm standing there, got my New York Yankees hat. This guy comes up beside me and looks at me. He's got a Red Sox hat on. Because they're the enemy of the Yankees, the Boston Red Sox. And he just kind of looks at me and goes, yeah, like that. It's not quite like that. It's gonna, yeah, I see you, buddy. I see you. No warfare will break out at present, but you know, I see that you're there with your stupid hat. And the reason I think of this is because we have these competitions with sports teams. You know, if you go to see the Calgary Stampeders game, who will you see there? Calgary Stampeders and who else? Saskatchewan Roughriders. Doesn't matter how long they've lived in Alberta. Doesn't matter. They got their, what do they have, watermelons on their heads or something? I'm from Manitoba, so we look down upon that kind of thing. They got watermelons on their heads, you know, blah, 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 blah. Sports teams, right? They have loyalty. That's a good thing. So this is kind of an analogy for how the Lord is speaking to the people of Judah, southern kingdom of Israel. He didn't talk about sports teams, but he does talk about this. He says, look around the world. Look at, for example, the island of Cyprus, which is just to the west. And he says, have you ever seen a country give up its gods for another god? It'd be kind of like, have you ever seen a Rough Rider start to cheer for, you know, Calgary? Like, and it's not because these gods that the people of Cyprus are worshiping are particularly good. They're not. They're empty and meaningless. They're pieces of stone. But he says, look at that even. That's called loyalty. These people are so loyal that they're loyal to something completely useless, which is this piece of stone. So explain this to me. ever in the course of human history has one team exchanged its gods for another team. And he said, they go, nobody knows, nobody's done. They said, you, Israel, on the other hand, have exchanged the living God for gods that are, and then he uses a kind of a complicated Hebrew word to make a point. They're worshiping the gods Baal, changes the word a little bit from Baal. And he says, have you ever seen a people change from the living God to worshiping something which is nothing? And this is then he makes this key point. You are what you worship. You become what you worship. We're thinking about, right? We've become what we worship. So we have to think ourselves, okay, what do I worship? Well, I'm okay. I don't worship Baal. Must be okay. No statues of Baal in my house. And you go, yeah, okay, that's all right. That was back in the 5th century. But there's a famous theologian who says, each of us has our ultimate concern. We have an organizing principle around which we build our life. We might call it a God, but it's something. And he says, we have to examine what our ultimate concern is, that principle around which we build our life. He said, that's your God right there. So worth thinking about. Jeremiah, God through Jeremiah is talking again, as I said to you in a minute ago, and he says, what you have done is so appalling. This is very striking when you read this. What you have done is so appalling that you have chosen something which is absolutely worthless, more than worthless. We're talking about things like engaging in cult prostitution, occasionally a little human sacrifice when it's required, social injustice, that is the worship of the god Baals. You've chosen something which is absolutely worthless instead of the living God who gives all good things and who gives life and justice and peace and strength. He said, this is incomprehensible. And then he used a very strange word. He said, this is so shocking that the angels themselves have received psychic trauma from the choice that you have made. Even the angels are traumatized by this choice that you've made because of how completely incomprehensible and irrational it is. And so you look at this, and he's trying to explain this to Jeremiah, trying to explain it to the people, like, what are you thinking? Like, how could you do this? Why would you abandon life itself for something which is pure emptiness and is going to lead to your despair and ultimately your destruction? What is that? And then you go, yeah, what is that anyway? What is that in human nature? We've all seen it, right? We've all seen it. We've all seen in ourselves too. We've all seen people make decisions and you're looking at them and you're going, this is only going to end one way. You know, this is only going to end one way. You know, people abandon, I don't know, think of 1,000 examples. People abandon, they break their vows. They abandon their families because of obsessiveness about work. They may choose some kind of destructive patterns of behavior which alienate them from other people. I don't need to tell you, right? Because everybody's seen this. And you go, man, what is that? Why? The angels themselves can't even figure it out. They're going, we're in a state of shock. We can't figure this out. So the secret, I think, is in this little part of this chapter of Jeremiah. You can look at it yourself. And he says, the Lord says, you have rejected the fountain of living water, which is me, the Lord, the source of all life, the source of all joy, strength of all peace and all and being itself. You have rejected for this. And instead of this living fountain, you have built for yourself cisterns that will not carry water properly, broken cisterns. And then you go, okay, I get it now. Somebody can correct me on this. I keep getting confused between Milton and Blake. We got any English majors here? Yeah, you're going to hide from me right now because you're afraid I'm going to chase down this quote. It's either Milton or Blake says, I would rather be the king of hell than a servant in heaven. Right? It's that urge in us to, I don't even know what you call it. It's this urge in us towards self-destruction. This is the way St. Augustine puts it. Might help. So St. Augustine, so he's writing his autobiography, right? He had a rough growing up period. St. Augustine did. And did all kinds of things that were not very good until his conversion as a young man, I think in his 30s. And he says, this is how it works. Talking about himself, right? This is how it works. You want to do something, right? You really want to do something because it would be great. And so you say to yourself, well, if I do this thing, it's going to make me really happy. And we know that only things that are true will bring us lasting happiness, right? Not temporary happiness. So then we go, okay, I really want to do this thing. Only the truth will bring me lasting happiness. So what I want to do must be the truth. In other words, we lie to ourselves, right? That this is the truth. You know perfectly well it's not the truth. We know we're just indulging some kind of temporary desire of ours, but we have to tell ourselves it's the truth. So Augustine says, yep, that was me, let me tell you. That's me. That's my story. And then he goes, so how does God punish people for doing that? A disordered mind is its own punishment. The punishment is suffering the consequences of chasing something that is empty, because you will find yourself in a state of emptiness when you get what it is that you think that you want, which is a lie, because we can lie and lie and lie and lie, but we are not satisfied with our lies. We don't even believe our lies. And our heart does not long for lies. Our heart longs for the living water of God's truth. Right? So says Augustine, and he would know. So that's cheerful. So what does Jesus do? So Augustine says, and Jeremiah say, Bible says, here's a big part of the human condition. It's our desire to just to be self-destructive. You can see it over and over again in us. So what does Jesus do? Jesus calls himself the living water. Do you remember that part of the Gospel of John? Calls himself light. Calls himself, Gospel of John is great, right? Calls himself light. Calls himself bread. Calls himself the living water, calls himself the resurrection, keeps saying, I am. It's the name of God himself in the Old Testament. I am this. I am the living water. So what kind of penance can we do that will please God when we have gone down the self-destructive road? And we can see other people doing it all the time. Maybe we can even see ourselves headed that way sometimes, doing something which is self-destructive. What can we do? What can we do to as penance for that? Jesus says, have a drink. He goes to the woman at the well. Do you remember that? Who's like not in a good moral condition. Let's just say it that way. And she goes, you know the story, but in the end he says to her, well, you should get a drink from me. If you drank the water I had to offer you, it would bubble up inside of you to eternal life. So what do we have to do when we realize we have maybe a period of time, gone through some self-destructive path, you know, turned away from God. It's this. Jesus says, would you like a drink? And you go, well, okay. I think that would be delicious. And he goes, problem solved. It's that simple. Just turn away from those stupid broken cisterns you built for yourself and drink from the living fountain. It's that simple. So the Lord calls us to identify when we've gone off the road, when we've done self-destructive things. He calls us. In the Bible, he tells us to that. And then he doesn't say, and off with you. You are banished to eternity. No hope for you. No soup for you. No hope for you. No nothing for you. It's drink from the living water. Let's pray together. Lord, free us from the urge to turn away from you, and free us from the desire to build our own empty, ineffective cisterns, when we can so freely drink of you, the living water. And Lord, when you do find us, even though we may run away, please turn our faces towards you. Quench our thirst. Give us this water to drink forever, which will well up in us to eternal life. And we ask this through Jesus' name. Amen.